Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Lone Hawk Bay Stacky Jacks, after Molly just about one on the board. SP Futures down 16. NASDAQ Futures down 44. Dow Futures down 135. As we had Joe Biden put his plan out there, and we're going to talk about that some here. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, I'm excited. We got the we needed to spend another couple trillion dollars.
Yeah, we're back into the other side. I know Maddie's all over me because I do like to criticize both sides, and the reason why I do is because they've had the same sorry, tired-ass plan for my entire lifetime. One is trickle-down, it wasn't work, and the other one is, we're not sure, pour out a whole bunch of money to a lot of people and get your finger in the pie all along the way. So I don't know if either one of those policies exactly would be my economic plan, but I don't think I've been axed.
They both don't mind spending, that's for sure.
But it's all on their guys. I mean, well, not so much their guys, but it's who gets the money first, right? And I would say
people.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a question of it's the trickle down. I'll give it to my guy, but don't worry, it's coming your way because my guy will make sure it gets there. That's the Republican mantra, which of course.
Well, and you already have the left wing of most left wing of the Democratic Party out there saying it's not enough. So.
I think that there should
remember
be...
Remember I told you on Wednesday, if Biden doesn't play ball, he's going to be in trouble.
Well,
because the goods are there. If they want to get rid of them, they can, and we already know that nothing is beyond the pale for them.
Well, I think that our history has shown, and again, what's the story? History does not repeat itself, but if you don't listen to it, it kind of screws you up or something. I don't know what the story is with that, but there's a line there somewhere, Maddie, that I missed. I cannot recall the. I could go give testimony. I do not recall. Did you get a $5,579,499 check from this guy? I do not recall. You don't recall getting a check. I don't recall the amount. You know what I mean? I don't know. Did you get any check? Well, I got a check. I don't recall. Okay. Anyway, but as I think we remember, even Mr. Weber. It's not he's getting old enough to remember some of this stuff. I'm going to say that when George Bush II had the full Republican control of Congress, the biggest fights were between the factions in the Republican Party, not really the Democrats, right? It wasn't like you get to do whatever you want. Same thing happened when Clinton was in there. His guys fought so much all over the place that he ended up with the Tea Party, right? I mean, it just goes on and on. Just because you have an advantage, you have your guys in there, it doesn't mean. I mean, there's people now that have no concept about economics. I mean, Lori Lightfoot came out yesterday and was talking about how we need to open up restaurants and bars right away because people are gathering in their homes. Well, when you can't let them go anyplace else, duh. I mean, two things I need to tell Lori. One is everybody has to be someplace all the time, or else you're dead. So you got to be someplace.
Oh, and even then, you got to be someplace.
You got to be someplace. Well, even then, you got to put your ashes on like Lakeshore Drive or someplace, right?
Right. They're somewhere.
Yeah, or put them in Wrigley Field, have them tear up the field and throw the field in a dump. Then where are you? Just saying. that was our poor man, Steve Goodman. That's what happened to him. But you have to. And I think Penny Pritzker the other day. I've never really listened to the lady all that long. I was horrified what she said the other day on TV. Now, nobody else would be, okay, because nobody just picks up on the economic stuff like I do, because talk about a weakness, that's all I listen for. And
What did she say?
Something to the effect of, well, you know, there's 20% of the businesses that just aren't coming back, and it's just the way it is. It's been this COVID thing, and it's a pandemic, and you know what? Because people ask about, you know, the smaller businesses. Well, you know, those functions will be back that just won't be with them, or something along those lines, I'm thinking. Okay. I could have told you that someday, somewhere, there's going to be a place to go down the block and get a beer. I just wouldn't like it to be, because in my time, three times now this has happened, where Resolution Trust 2008, where an awful lot of people's wealth went to other people because of government screw-ups, and they were more than happy to shove money to shove these places to different people. And, you know, and if you're rich like that, or a tenured professorship, don't take that personally, Helsnar, or you, or Russell, you know, in 20 years, this will all be biased. This will all pass. Meanwhile, I'm getting my paycheck and whatever. I mean, but a lot of hurt can happen. I'll use the term in the meantime, can it?
Well, meanwhile, your dining choices are going to be, Applebee's and Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah. All right, so here's the list, in case anybody's not read.
So we've just severely damaged the culture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, but maybe somebody wants it. Do you think McDonald's is upset with this? I don't think so. You think Walmart is? You think Amazon is? I don't think so. Anyway,
no.
Here's the list. Direct payments of $1,400 to most Americans, bringing the total relief to $2,000, including December's $600 payments. Increasing the federal per week unemployment benefit to $400. What did they make it now? Maybe $300? It was only extended to the end of February, right? And now it's being extended to the end of September. Is that correct?
I honestly don't know.
I know they made it $300, right? It was $6, then it was $0, and I think.
Yeah,
the Trump bill ended
in July. I know that. I knew that something was coming, but I don't know when and how much.
I think the $300 started a month ago. Whenever Trump's bills, or the bill that Trump signed passed. When did he pass that? It was like 3 weeks ago Sunday, right? Because we had a big trade on Sunday night. All right, so they made it $300-$400. And they extended it to the end of September. I think it was the end of February. Don't quote me on that. Increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean the minimum wage for anybody. It means the minimum wage the federal government pays people, correct? Is that what that means? I'm not positive.
No, the federal minimum wage is the prevailing minimum wage across the country. Some states go higher.
I don't think so, Kevin, but we need an arbiter on that. I think it means that's what the Fed's going to pay. I don't think you demand that Alabama goes to $15 an hour with this. I don't
know. They do.
I think
Kevin's right. I think they lay out what the minimum is, and then states can go above it if they want, but what's the federal now?
Like 750?
Yeah, there's a floor. There's a federal floor minimum.
Yeah, and now what that's going to do is it's going to guarantee that no teenager ever gets a job, and that we automate out of existence all low-wage jobs.
Hey, do us a favor. Google federal minimum wage. I have a feeling that doesn't mean that every state's got to raise theirs to $15, because what's Illinois only, like $11.50 or something? That just got there? I can't believe we're going to have $15 like next week.
Right now, the federal minimum wage is $7.25.
This can't be like tomorrow this is going to happen. It's going to more than double.
It says raising the federal minimum wage to $15 by 2024 would lift pay for nearly 40 million workers.
Oh, by 2024. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't think it could happen one day. Anyway, well, with the rate of inflation they're putting out, the $15 might be less than the 7.25 now. Now, did anybody think of that except me? It could actually be less if we double the prices by then, right? Which we're well on our way to doing. Okay, extending the eviction and foreclosure moratoriums until the end of September. Okay, so you can't evict anybody, and you can't foreclose, but the numbers just keep piling up, right? So you're if somebody's not paying their mortgage, you can't throw them out. But the bill at the end of September could be $30,000. I mean,
apparently Florida passed their minimum wage and just raised it to $15. And Biden's point is Florida is a, you know, very divided sort of 50-50 political state, and they had no problem passing it, raising it to $15. So why can't the rest of the country?
Because Florida's got more money than Alabama and Mississippi?
Well, it, part of the problem with doing a nationwide minimum wage is that you're imposing a New York wage on Wyoming.
Was there, from my Pullman days, what, there's 1,780 hours in a week, in a year? Is that still right? Am I right?
I don't know the number.
But you're supposed to know everything. You're like our professor.
No, I do know damn near everything, but that's one of the things I don't know. That's one of the four or five things I don't know.
So that's 26.7 in a year, right?
$15 an hour is 26,700, is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking 1,780, so there's what? How many, there's actually how many working days in a year? 220 or something? 220 times 8 is 1,780, right? Am I correct?
Your question gets to be who's working for minimum wage?
Well, a lot of people. Now, there's no back off on this regarding people working for small businesses. There's no, you gotta pay your son or your daughter $15. I mean, there's gotta be some detail in here, but we don't have it. All right. We extended
Do you have to pay fast food workers? Do you part-time workers? Like I said, who's working for minimum wage? A lot of high school kids, hardly any working adults and even fewer working adults who have to, support a family or anything, there's not a lot of 30-year-old people working for minimum wage.
Well, no, but if you work at
$15 an hour times 40 hours a week times 52 weeks, I don't know if that's the exact number of working weeks, but that's $31,000 a year.
Yeah, but you don't get,
which is, to me, still, you can't survive on $31,000 a year in Chicago, I don't think. Maybe you can in Wyoming, like Kevin said, I don't know. But $15 an hour to me still doesn't sound like that much, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, you can't probably run a restaurant paying your dishwashers $15 an hour. Ask your bro. I bet you can't.
In Chicago, I don't think you can survive making less than $15 an hour. Can you?
I mean,
you can, if, like Kevin said, if it's a high school person working part-time, then you're not trying to survive. You're just trying to make extra money. I get that. But if you're working 40 hours a week and making $31,000 a year in Chicago, that's got to be like poverty.
I'm not debating what's fair. What I'm saying.
I'm not debating what's fair either. I'm asking a question: can you survive in Chicago on $31,000 a year? I mean, I'm sure you maybe can, but it's not going to be easy.
Let's put it this way: a real lot of people do.
Right, and that's the situation where you probably have 12 people living in a house,
right,
in a bad neighborhood. That's not. So I guess my point is this $15 an hour isn't as much as maybe it sounds like to some people.
Okay, but the only thing I can't do this in 30 seconds or less, but if I had a blackboard showing my age or a dry board, I could walk through the whole scene of how all this stuff. We need to tell Lori, we need to tell Joe, we need to tell Jay, we need to tell Trump, we need to tell all these people, they need to take a basic economics class. No man can do one thing. If you take every rate that was $11 an hour or 10, say dishwashers, busboys, that kind of thing. And you, when people decide they want a restaurant or a bar or any kind of other business, they look at all those numbers and then they decide, okay, how much can I pay in my lease? Then you have somebody who's an owner of the place says, okay, how much can I get for my lease? Then he decides how much he can pay for the building. This constantly is a piggy move up situation where everybody's aware of what everybody else is doing, and all this hinges together. And where am I wrong here, Kevin?
You're right about that, because I was just thinking. My first apartment in the city was in 2005, so 16 years ago, and I remember it was $660 a month, and it was a studio.
Right.
That place now is like $1,000 a month, if or maybe $1,100, in 16 years, and my first job, while I was kind of, working to get a real job, was basically making like $8 an hour, working, as many hours as I could. I'd work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, multiple jobs, just kind of, that was basically minimum wage then. So I was making like $17,000 a year, and that basically covered my rent and like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and maybe like one night of you know, 50-cent beer night a week. That was it. And so you can survive on that. But now that apartment, like I said, is like $1,100 a month in just 16 years. And I don't think you could swing making $8 an hour. I don't even know if you can swing making $15 an hour.
No, I'm with you. All I'm saying is stuff is amazingly correlated. Our buddy Butch Real, who came on Restaurant Alley, who's going to contribute to the show at least once, maybe twice. When the amount of money you paid dishwashers went from like $10 to $11.50 or something, which like you and I made, we're all in agreement on this. It's not a lot of dough, but the point is when they leased their place and did the economics for the restaurant, they used the prevailing rate, okay? So and they said, okay, we'll pay you, you know, $2,000 a month for the place, and all of a sudden that number went from say $10 to $11.50. Well, where does it come from? It comes from someplace, right? Either you raise all the prices for dinner and drinks, which is starting to happen all over the place, in which case, now there the problem is anybody really getting a raise? Well, maybe these guys are, or maybe some of them are getting fired. Does that help the person who's making $36,000 a year go to that restaurant? The answer is maybe no. Well, then all of a sudden now, if you say to your lessor, or you're the guy renting a place, hey, by the way, I can't pay this anymore because look how my costs went up and I can't raise the prices fast enough. So my $2,000 a month better be $1,700. Well, wait a minute. I just bought this place based on knowing I was going to get $2,000 a month. Now I'm only getting $17,000. Now I can't make my pay. What I'm saying, this is all a big choreography. And whenever you quote, disturb one part of it, other than just by natural growth where everybody moves up together, you screw somebody up. So what I'm saying is, I think people should make $20 an hour, but I think the economy should be growing to the point where that person can demand $20 an hour and get it from somebody. That's the healthy way to do it. Not to just have for somebody from God on top say you got to pay people $20. And Manny, I would give you the argument that people were making $25 an hour in 1978, right? When it was real money. I mean, there's the idea that somebody only makes $10 an hour, it appalls me. Okay? But the fact is, we don't have enough labor demand because we offshored some of this stuff. It should help. It should be the other way, where I walk into Al's place and say, I want $15 an hour. And he goes, well, I can't pay you that. Well, fine, the guy down the block can. See ya. That's the healthy way, right? To have you be worth $15 an hour, somebody recognize it and somebody pay for it. But whenever you have government, you can't shut places down, then the next day tell people you got to pay people $15 an hour. You can't do both. Just saying. Am I right, Kevin, or am I off on a tangent?
Oh, I'm with you, and that's the economic argument. I'm not sitting here opposed to the idea of raising the minimum wage because it's been a long time since it's been raised, and 7.25 is inadequate, and I think that's inadequate anywhere you live. I just don't know that the jump to 15 makes a lot of sense, and especially, like I said, you know, not unless you're going to carve out, you know, people up to 18 years old or 20 years old or something like that, because you're going to eliminate that first job.
Well, but you also you can't.
It's going to get. I mean, we're already seeing it in the fast food industries where because of the most recent. Yeah, tied in. I'm not going to say they never would have gone to automation anyway, because yeah, they would have at some point. But what we're doing is we're accelerating it, and we're making a very, very strong financial case for doing things like kiosks in restaurants, ordering kiosks, delivery kiosks, automated food preparation. All of that kind of stuff is in the process right now of replacing what has historically been first jobs for young people. And that, you know, first jobs are important.
Well, they are, and if we were going to do these kinds of things, and if you were to look at what I consider to be wrong in some of the, the idea that somebody is making, like I said, 7.25 an hour, to me is appalling. Unless you're washing dishes in your mom's restaurant, you're lucky she's paying you anything. But my point is we have all these issues that have to do with how much people get paid in this country. It has nothing to do with your. What's the economic term, Kevin? I'm getting old. Your marginal benefit, right? Does anybody really think that the head of United Health, whoever it is, you know, deserved a $100 million payoff when the company got bought? It wasn't United Health got bought, and they might have bought somebody. But I mean, the idea of this is incredibly skewed, one way or the other. I mean, because obviously the people who are the CEOs at Commonwealth Edison in a regulated industry or industry with patents, drug industries with patents, there's no way that that's competitive. So we think we have a country here, and especially, you know, the people on the right, unfortunately, they're just as idiotic economically as the people on the left. They think we have a competitive system. No, we don't. In some very, in maybe four or five industries. But do you think the drug companies, that's competitive? I mean, come on. You think how much those people decide they make is competitive? Like, you couldn't put an ad today in, does the Wall Street Journal still do ads? That you couldn't find a CEO for Johnson & Johnson or a CFO or Commonwealth Edison or someplace that would make a third as much as the guy who's there and probably is a lot better? I mean, come on.
You probably could find a better one because you get that hungry, talented person.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the way we're headed here is, so now you're right. We're going to decide it's going to be $15 an hour. But I said, fortunately for these guys, we're pouring so much inflation in the place, you might actually have to pay $15 an hour because the apartment Matty Weber's talking about might be $2,000 by 2024. All right, let's run down the list here. $350 billion in state and local government aid. If we're going to give $20 billion to the state of Illinois to pay pensions, you know, screw you, Joe. We should not be doing that. That doesn't make me right wing. That's just insane. That is insane.
Is that your first screw you, Joe, of this new administration?
No, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people in Illinois feel that somehow or another the federal government should bail us out. Why? Why? I mean, you know, let's get rid of some of the. We're a state that's losing people because we're paying people that does not work. And the people who are working can't afford it anymore. I mean, am I right?
Yeah.
$170 billion for K-12 schools and institutions of higher education. Let's see. I'm looking at the detail here. Kevin O'Neill, $50,000. You're on the list.
Nice.
Nice.
He's buying beers.
You buying beers?
Sure. Sure, come on over.
$50 billion towards COVID-19 testing. I want just 1/100th of the slack of the grease in that. $50 billion.
$50 billion. How many tests will that buy?
Even if it's $100 a test,
at marginal cost now.
Oh, but what is the marginal cost? Got to be $10, $15, $20.
Wow. I'd say,
all right, so God bless. I got to get a bigger calculator. $20 billion towards a national vaccine program in partnership with states, localities, and tribes. Okay, well, of course you got to try.
But we already had that.
I thought we already had that. So we're going to do 2.5 times as much for testing as we are towards fixing. Not so sure I like that ratio. Do you?
No, I don't. And you know, you want to give people relief? Just open up the damn country.
Yeah.
Let people go back to work.
Making the child tax credit fully refundable for the year. And increasing the credit to $3,000 per child, $3,600 for a child under age 6. I'm not sure what that is, but I should know my taxes better. Hey, so guess what? Yesterday, for those that listen to Stocks and Jacks, and actually, or read the stuff on your own, which a lot of people do, obviously, they just had a person who tested positive for the virus after getting his 2 vaccine shots. Okay.
You mean it doesn't work?
Doesn't mean it doesn't work, really.
It says 95% effective. The bigger concern for me is Michigan State and many other NBA teams are starting to have guys test positive for the second time. Within 9 months, that's scarier to me.
You have a lot of false positives.
No, I know, but they're testing every day, so they're hoping for a false positive, and then when they test positive 3 or 4 times in a row, then they're really getting worried. That just happened to Michigan State. They had to cancel their game last night, and they're on shutdown basketball-wise for guys that tested positive who 6 months ago already had it.
Okay, I will.
They have it, or did they test positive 6 months ago?
Well, that's
there's a difference. Did they never get symptoms?
It's a great question.
Nobody's either asking or giving that information.
Yeah, it's a great question, and my understanding is that for the college kids, their symptoms aren't that bad anyway. But supposedly Izzo's son was one of the guys that had it, and he said you know, he had it over the summer. It was mild symptoms, and he has it again with no symptoms. So I don't know, you know, I would agree with you. To me, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but it's just interesting that you can test positive again 6 months later.
Okay, Matty, you lobbed out the 90% effective.
95 is what they're telling
95%.
Us.
95%. Now, since you've heard me say it two or three times, explain to me exactly how that calculation was made, how it took place, and what the weaknesses of it are there.
You'll have to reach out to a Pfizer representative. I have no idea.
Well, I can tell you.
You know a Pfizer representative?
I know how the calculation was done.
Go ahead.
You know, they sent people out in the wild and said who got it and who didn't.
Yeah, they didn't
intentionally expose people to it.
No, they did not. So if you don't want to do that, I actually read more about the AstraZeneca one, but they're the same thing. They got 44,000 people, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca got 32 in Brazil and Spain or someplace. And what they did was they gave the placebo plus something to make your arm sore, so you think you got the shot. Bizarre, I never thought of that. So you learn as you do this stuff. So let's take the 44. They gave 22,000 the vaccine and 22,000 not. And basically, Maddie sent them out into the wild. Okay, go and do what you're going to be doing. If you got enough of the disease to come back, then the first thing that should pop into your mind now that you are getting pretty bright on this stuff is, wait a minute. These people are going to go. They're going to go test weekly 44,000 people. The answer is no, they didn't. They sent them out, and if people came back with the symptoms, okay, said I'm sick, and they took their temperature, they said, "Oops, you got the coronavirus." And oh, by the way, we'll give you a test, and you do. Out of the first, like, was a small number. Out of the first, like, 100 and some people that came back, I was thinking 160 pops into my head. Something like 95% of the 160 were people who got the placebo versus the vaccine. So when I read that, I said the first thing that pops into my mind is, okay, the vaccine could be doing one of three things. One is it's stopping you from even getting it whatsoever at all. It's like not even in your body. You instantly kill it. That's possibility one. That's what everybody's hoping for. Possibility two is you get it enough to where you have such a mild case that you don't even care, but you still can infect somebody else. It's possibility two. Possibility three is you get it, such a mild case, and oh, by the way, the thing's working good enough that you can't infect anybody else. So you're looking for either one or three, right? But you don't know.
Right.
There's no way you know through that kind of a fast test. Now, these guys nobody wanted them to wait for the year or two where you tested people every week and found out exactly what was happening. So the chances that somebody would get the vaccine and either get a very, very mild case and not be able to give it to somebody else. When they gave polio the first vaccine, the vaccine actually gave you a mild... Lou had this story. You were able to pass it on to somebody else even though you couldn't get it. So this is not unusual. But the way this testing took place, this is not a shock or shouldn't be a shock to anybody. It could be that somebody tests positive for it. But the stuff is working so well that he has such a mild case that, you know, he has it. And, oh, by the way, can't pass it on. Well, to me, that's a victory, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if he doesn't know he has it and he can go ahead and pass it on just like some young person now has got it, then we haven't really accomplished much, have we? Right? I mean, so, yeah. but we don't know.
I think if you got a bonus this year because you're a Pfizer exec, it accomplished quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, you know what? They're not making that much money on this compared to what they make on other stuff. It was Viagra them or was Lipitor them? I'll take either one of those over this thing. S&P futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 8. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Jackson, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us. S&P futures down 12. NASDAQ futures down 9. Earnings last night. We have J.P. Morgan came in with good earnings. They're up $1.30. They said they had good trading revenue. Gee, they trade against the Fed all day, and they get the call first. I'm shocked. They've had a pretty good quarter trading. I'm shocked. I don't know how that could happen. Dow futures down 138. God, Kevin, I'm getting so cynical. I can't even. DAX down 138. That's 1%. FTSE down 60.9%. Kick around down 66. That's 1.2%. So everybody's down around 1% over in Europe. Asia Nikkei down 179.6%, but they were up like almost 2% yesterday. Shanghai up 47 cents. Let's call that one flat. Hang Seng up 77.3%. Bonds, kind of, they're down two ticks. This is a 10-year rate is down two ticks. 1.10. The Bund minus 0.54. Japan, right where it always is, positive 0.03. Just as a way of review, yesterday, Dow was down 68, S&P down 14, NASDAQ down 16. Oil, got oil down 57 cents, 53 bucks, still pretty high. But that is a percent. Brent down 87 cents, 55.55. Natural gas up 8 cents, 274. Actually, it was 2 days ago, so it was down and came back up. RBOB unchanged at 154. We got gold still sputtering around, down $5, 1846. Silver down 52 cents, so it's a big move in silver, but that's been much more volatile than gold within a range. 25.27. Maddie, what do you got for us? Travy Weather Sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have an issue, it looks like, coming in on the south side. Dan Ryan Express Lanes at 43rd Street. There is an accident on the inbound side blocking the right lane on the Ryan at 43rd Street coming inbound. So keep that in mind. That's causing a bit of a slowdown on the express lanes. No issues on the outbound side. Looks like the Bishop Ford and I-57 are all quiet. Same for the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Edens and Kennedy looking good. Other crash in the area is out in the western suburbs. Army Trail Road at Rellring Road, there is an accident. But everything else is all quiet out there. Weather today, clouds, some precipitation in the area. Not expecting much for accumulation, but could be a rain-sleet mix similar to yesterday. We'll reach a high of 37. Right now it's overcast and 35 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 77 today. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, quiet night last night for our teams, but the Bulls and Blackhawks are both in action tonight. The Bulls are at Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. That's a 7 p.m. Chicago time tip. Blackhawks will look for revenge against the Lightning. They're at Tampa at 6 p.m. Chicago time tonight. The Coyotes were in action last night. They lost to the Sharks 4-3. Chief.
The I was thinking of when we start talking about this, the COVID-19 and the vaccines and stuff. It is astounding to me how we still can't get this thing rolling, Kevin. And we've had how many months here to do this? And I don't. But some of the decisions somebody made one yesterday was in New York where they said, if you have extra vaccine and you can't find somebody like over 70, it's okay to give it to people like over 65 instead of throwing them out or something. Do we need a bureaucrat to tell us that?
Yes, apparently we do.
I learned some of this.
If you are ever want to just make a quick evaluation of any business or any operation, just ask them to do something out of the ordinary, and if there is no power for minor things for somebody to think, to use your head and make a decision without fear of somebody beating you up for it, then you'll know. You'll be just ask a question, ask a simple a simple service, and if the employees can't do it, you know you have a poorly managed place. It's the first sign. It's the easiest sign to evaluate.
Well, when Pullman was having their issues, and none of this changes, Kevin, because people don't change. We had a bunch of people. We hired a bunch of like schedulers, right? Because we were behind in the Amtrak program, and so I would go to the meetings. I'm the finance guy, and there was meeting after meeting because everybody had their foot in the pie was going to be part of the solution. But you only had maybe 15, 20 guys who were the real engineers that were doing the work. But now you made them go to a meeting like every hour. So the guy who was the head engineer was a guy named Bill Walker. He's got to be long dead. He was this grumpy old guy, bigger than me. He's a huge man. And so after one of the meetings, all the other knuckleheads leave. And one of the solutions was to put, the first thing you did was you have an undercar arrangement drawing, which keys the whole thing. The whole engineering is where you're going to put stuff, how big stuff could be. Talking about air conditioners, air brakes, all those kinds of things. And usually your best guy does the undercar arrangement drawing. And it takes like a month. It's a real big deal. So they said, can you put more people on that drawing? And he's like, well, we probably could, just to get out of the meeting. So afterward, I hang around, I said, Bill, putting guys on that drawing, what is that like? He goes, it's sort of like if I want a baby in 1 month, I go around the night and have sex with 9 women. He goes, it doesn't work. And I said, so what do you really need? Because, I'm trying to get stuff for my boss. He goes, I need people to leave me alone and get me out of these meetings. He goes, there's probably 10 or 15 people that actually do all the work in our department. And the last thing we need to do is be in meetings all day. We have work to do. We have a job. And whenever I see, the Trump was big on this, Pritzker's huge on this, all the people that are in disease control, all your this person, your head of something, then his two assistants or her two assistants, you see these people for an hour or two a day having to drive over to wherever the hills they're going to and drive back. Does anybody get any work done, Kevin? Do we just hire more people?
Yeah, they have. There's meetings, so you're meeting to death. Colleges are one thing. If I've learned nothing else, is colleges are all about committees. Everything is done by a committee, it's so much of it is just dysfunctional. It really is. But that's it's a pet peeve of mine. Not letting people make decisions, not letting people use common sense. And I can tell you that, with my employees, the way we always handled it was, I said, if a decision needs to be made, if you think I need to be consulted, ask me. If I'm not there, make a decision. I promise I won't beat you up for it. We may have a discussion about if it doesn't go right, or if it's, if it wasn't a good decision, we'll talk about it. But we're not, you're not going to get in trouble for doing what I told you to do, which is make a decision. You got customers that need assistance. You got, some work that needs to be done, whatever it is. Don't just sit on it because you feel paralyzed and you feel you have no power to make a decision.
Well, yesterday, I'm not, beating up on people on TV, although they all look better than me. They have this go figure, a very attractive young lady, very well spoken, and she's representing Walgreens. And she's on for 45 minutes talking about what Walgreens are this and this and that and how this is going to be very efficiently done and blah, blah, blah. And again, I could find nothing wrong with her presentation. In fact, I wish she worked for PTI, for God's sake, because she'd be better off on TV than me. But then they come on right afterwards, or like in the same segment, with the governor of West Virginia, and he says they've been going through the private pharmacies, and they're like leading the country at getting the stuff done because all the people that are not necessarily ma and pa's, but smaller places are getting the job done better. How do you put that on the same TV station at the same hour and not somebody go, wait a minute, where's the disconnect here? Am I the only one who sees? I can't be. I mean, I'm not that smart. I mean, obviously, this constant, we're going to do this with this guy. God, if we had to build an aircraft carrier now, or fighter bombers or whatever he had in World War II, if we had to wait for the one person to do it, how long would we have to wait? How long would World War II have taken, 20 years?
It's the old expression about a camel is a horse designed by committee.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder why the idea that we cannot be giving these vaccinations out, and now all of a sudden it's going to be at Joe's Stadium. Why do we need Joe's Stadium? We have high school gyms all over the damn place. We have Catholic churches all over the damn place. In this parish, the place to get your I remember everybody in the St. John Fisher went up to the gym and got their polio vaccine. Why do we need? It's got to be Kevin's Ice House. Kevin is donating his ice house, and I mean, what is somebody getting money in their pocket from Kevin's Ice House so he can do that? I mean, this whole thing is I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. So help me here.
What do I tell you all the time? what's the best argument against big government? There's constitutional arguments, but the best argument is that government is incompetent, that government is pretty uncaring for the most part, and there just isn't much that it does well.
But the bigger they are, the bigger you have to...
inevitably that we get from the bureaucracy is we just need more of it. We just need more money to spend so that we can have more government, and that's going to make it better, and it won't.
Well, you know what I never learned in school. Maybe wasn't there a book, Things I Never Learned in School? Didn't some lady write that? I think so. Or there's things I didn't learn from mom or to some of the... Anyway.
We can go with when I was young and they... let me see. How's the opener of Wind Up go? When I was young and they packed me off to school.
Yeah. Well, you know what I never... With all the stuff about government, and obviously we had people at Notre Dame that were anti... big government, and we had a lot of guys that liked the antitrust and so forth. But you know what I never really heard, Kevin, which is so... I don't know, Maddie, you can judge me on this one. You know what really is something that is never spoken? Well, I'll speak it now. And I'd love to write a paper on it. Is the bigger government gets, the bigger you have to be to play with them. And how just the fact that they're bigger and the numbers you need to... I mean, I think you used to be able to, I'll pick a name out. If you wanted to have dinner with Danny Rostenkowski, you called his office, and he said they're going to be at Morton's tonight in Washington. Just go sit down. And Danny would have a table every night, and you'd sit there, and everybody knew what lobbyist was picking up the bill. But you would get, you won't get to be in the entire conversation, but he'd say, Tom, why are you here? And he'd say, well, my industry is this and that, and we'd like to, this is our issue, and blah, 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 and everybody need. Take it under advisement or something, but you didn't have to be a big shot to get to Dan Rostenkowski. You didn't have to bring, $50,000 at a table. But as this thing's getting bigger and bigger, and these departments are getting bigger and bigger, it seems like you got to be a Walgreens to get there. That if the three of us own some huge private pharmacy, I don't think we have the moxie to get in the door anymore. And so it's not just government's getting bigger. It's making the people that play with them, for lack of a better term, dance with them. I was going to say have sex with them, but it comes to that almost. You got to get bigger and bigger. I would say that right now, who's Nancy Pelosi? Well, Dan Rostenkowski was a Speaker of the House. The chances of you and I, not that we'd ever want to, I wouldn't, to get to Nancy Pelosi's table and her to listen to us is like, I don't even think it's on the planet as a possibility. And that's been, what, 20 years, Kevin? mean, who are the people that are get to her office? Is it Walgreens? It might be. It's not going to be you and me, but you and I could have, we could have gone out in the morning when Dan was walking his dog and talked to him. That ship has sailed as government's gotten so big. Or, and this is something that I never
well,
learned in school.
Also, that also makes it easier for corruption to get lost in the muddle.
Yeah, I mean, but how, I mean, right now, I mean, you know, Microsoft gets into the Oval Office. You know, your university's not going to, but I have a feeling that years ago you could have, even for 5 minutes. I think the excess gets bigger and bigger the more government gets bigger and bigger, which I don't think is necessarily what you and I might want to see, or Mr. bring Maddie with us on this. Just saying.
Oh, well.
What the, hey, what
so
is,
we
why,
got 10 minutes. Is there anything fun we should,
yeah, hey, what I turn on, how come every night now I'm turning on a basketball game and there's no game? Was Michigan and Michigan State, Iowa canceled last night?
Yeah, it was postponed because of an outbreak on Michigan State's roster.
How is it that, with all these outbreaks, how is it everybody doesn't have it by now? I'm just curious.
That's a good question.
I already told you, those kids, this is their second time.
Oh, it was Michigan State kids. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But so they tested.
Including Izzo's son.
All right, so they tested positive twice. The first time we were.
Correct. They had it apparently over the summer and then got it again this week.
I'm willing to bet you that there's. It's just traces. I'd love to know what kind of test they're using, because if they're using PCR, that's an amplification test. You're going to get it. It just is, you know, it's the question of how many rounds of amplification you do on it that's going to determine, you know, whether it's severe or whether it's sensitive or whether it's just traces.
Well, my question would be, test Izzo's son for the antibodies, and if he actually did have the antibodies in the first one and he's sick again, well, that's a problem, right? I would say.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that it's not that, but...
Well, I know that the Big Ten is testing every day, which I assume all the big conferences are. So they're testing their players and their staff every day, and then if someone gets it, then they isolate that person and continue testing every day, and if anyone else gets it, then they make the decision on whether they're going to pause or isolate that person too. And apparently the two kids got it that were roommates, and they were going to try to play anyway, and then a third person tested positive yesterday, and so that's why they postponed the game.
Okay, well...
Yeah, I wonder if Michigan State is back in school, the campus-wide. That would be interesting to know. So, for instance, here Notre Dame's not coming back till February, so, you know, the athletics teams are able to operate pretty much in isolation. They can keep them bubbled.
Not so sure I'd want to be in a bubble. Just saying.
Well, you know, I wish Notre Dame guys would get it, and then they could start canceling some of these games that they're losing instead.
By the way, who? Going back to Michigan State, they were. I saw them early in the year, maybe three times, and they were world beaters. Now all of a sudden, were they in the middle of the pack, Manny?
Well, they've gotten to conference play. The Big Ten is a juggernaut this year. It's really tough. I mean, even the bottom of the Big Ten, outside of Nebraska and Penn State. But the top 12 teams are all capable of making the tournament and capable of beating you. And Michigan State, you know, they beat Duke, which at the time looked like a big win. Well, Duke's not that good either, it turns out. And they had another decent win, and then but they got into the Big Ten. They're 2-4 in the Big Ten, which I don't ever remember an Izzo team being 2-4 in the Big Ten, ever.
And they've got, defensively, they're really good. I mean,
yeah, they can play defense with anyone. They're just having problems scoring. But I'd like to know, just because I'm a fan of Mike Bray and have been, and I know Kevin's a fan, what happened to Notre Dame? Just because they, you know, I know they're a program that gets 3- and 4-year guys, and so you're going to have some down years here and there as guys, you know, grow and redshirt and mature and things like that. But they had a stretch where they were, you know, a top 10 or 15 program basically every year, and now...
Sure, they were playing in regional finals 2 years in a row a few years back, 15, 16.
Right, and now they're like bottom feeders in the ACC. Like, what are you seeing? Is there an issue with recruiting?
You know what? They have this junior class right now that has that had four top 100 players in it. And then they picked up Cormac Ryan as a who also, I believe, was a top 100 player. Who transferred after 1 year at Stanford. They had recruited him as well. So that's their junior class. Now, out of those guys, Robbie Carmody has never been able to st- injury. So he'll be able to play two more years if he can stay healthy. And I always thought he was a tough kid, played really hard, played, you know, and played that. Nate Leshefsky has become a pretty good player. The others are all over, and that's Dane Goodwin, that's Prentice Hubb, I just mentioned his name, the guy that transferred from Stanford, Cormac Ryan. Those guys are all over the map. You don't know what you're going to get from them. You can get a 1-for-9 shooting day, and then the next day they come out, next game they come out and get 24 points. The only consistent player on their team is Leshefsky. The rest is all over the place. And Mike Bray's teams have never been known for defense, and I would say that this is the worst defensive team I've ever seen him have. They just are god-awful on defense.
If you,
that's what I'm seeing.
I'm going to lob one out to you, Kevin. I'm not going to compare the two, but when Digger first showed up at Notre Dame, I was there his first year. Yeah, he had the world's worst team, and he had a couple guys that, you know, got hurt. One guy went to the...
I remember the record. They were 6-20.
Yeah, one guy got his leg cut off. I mean, it was bad. And if Aaron didn't give him two guys in the football team, I don't know how he would have completed the schedule. But anyway, Digger was his very aggressive, nice guy. He came in to our dorm and gave us the pep rally for our dorm football team and stuff. As time went by, these guys really get tired of the recruiting trail, and it really starts to wear on them. Then they start dropping back into it. It's all crooked. We can't compete, blah, blah, blah. And I'm starting to see the same thing in Mike Bray. I mean, when Digger was younger, we got somebody every year. We got Adrian Dantley. We got Flowers. We got Bill Lampier. We got all those guys. We got Rivers. We got, who was the other guy? The guy who got in a car accident. Tell us his name, Kevin.
Was David Rivers.
Oh, but then we had the Fines. We had a string of NBA players. Then all of a sudden, Digger decided that his recruiting was too dirty or whatever for him, and his last 4 or 5 years, he really didn't do any of this. And I'm starting to...
Yeah, he kind of checked out of his job.
Yeah, I'm sensing the same thing with Bray. He's zeroing in on these... I think the transfer part is much cleaner. You're talking to kids that are 21 years old, they have a degree. I'd much rather talk to them, too, to be honest with you, than high school kids. But I think that's what he's doing. I mean, am I totally wrong?
I don't know. They have not... Their recruiting has been year-to-year hit and miss. I think the mistake that he made was when he had two assistant coach openings. He hired relative rookies in Ryan Ayers and Humphrey, Ryan Humphrey, the two Ryans. And if you're not an experienced recruiter, you're going to get your brains beat in on recruiting, and it really is up to the assistants for the most part. So I think hiring rookies like that was a problem. Now Ryan Ayers is gone, and they just he was summarily dismissed without explanation. Well, it turns out the charges were just made public that there was a domestic abuse situation. So that's what happened there. But the interim is Scott Martin. Well, I don't know if that's going to be the permanent, because Scott Martin's never been a coach either. He played for Bray, and he was like director of basketball operations here after playing a few years in Europe, and he's a bright guy and has a bright future as well. But if he becomes the permanent solution, then they'll continue to get their brains beat in on recruiting.
Hey Kevin, I'm going to jump you with this one because you always seem to have answers. Could you take us through? I'm going to say, and we have a few minutes here, but. I don't know what the time frame is, where it's 20 years, 15 years, 10 years. But it seemed to me, say when Lou Holtz was at Notre Dame, that era about, it was a very hard salary cap on assistant coaches. There was, if the head coach got a shoe contract, he couldn't even share that with the other guys, I don't believe. I mean, again, I'm talking about memory here. Now all of a sudden it's, Katie bar the door on this stuff. Well, what's the progression of that? I mean, when you mention these assistant coaches, then what is Notre Dame paying these two assistant coaches vis-a-vis, you know, what is Michigan State paying them? Or what is, I mean, obviously the two guys at Alabama are getting paid a boatload more than Tommy Reese's at Notre Dame. I mean, are some of the schools, I mean, I don't think Stanford.
Well, Notre Dame just ponied up big to get their defensive coordinator. They it was down Notre Dame and LSU. They hired the defensive coordinator away from Cincinnati, and he's an Ohio State guy who had been on Ohio State staff too. So
I'm saying, but the progression? So, I think a lot of schools aren't in this.
That's part of the progression. Now, how they're doing it on basketball, I don't know. Other than I'm sure Bray is real happy to be bringing his former players into the program. The problem is Duke does that all the time. Duke always has former players in the program. The difference is that it's staggered. They're not all brand new. So Johnny Dawkins was there forever while they were bringing in the Wojos and Chris Collins like players. I don't know if it's the money as much as the experience.
Well, but I mean, is there an assistant coach somewhere that, you know, is renowned for bringing in four Adrian Dantleys, and he's going to get $1 million someplace? Is it getting like football, I guess? Is Notre Dame and a lot of other teams not willing to pay that? I'm not saying Northwestern would either.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if that's as much the case because there are so many head coaching jobs available. I really think the big thing for most assistants, there's a few career assistants out there floating around, but I think for most assistant coaches, they want to become head coaches. And I think that's really the determining factor is, can I get myself on a track for that job? Even if I have to start out at a lower level program, I'm not necessarily going to move from somebody's bench as an assistant to my first head coaching job at a Big Ten job or an ACC job. But that's okay. A lot of people make that progression. That was Bray's progression. He was an assistant at Duke for a long time, and then he went to Delaware. And
yeah,
when he was successful at Delaware, that's how he landed the Notre Dame job. I think, you know, that's really the big thing is who's going to make me into a head coach.
By the way, Kevin was dead on with the defensive issue. I just pulled up KenPom, who does the advanced analytics on college basketball. Notre Dame's offense is 28th in the country, which is very, very much good enough to be a tournament-caliber team. Their defense is 209th in the country in defensive efficiency.
Listen, the same defense as the Bulls. Ole. Kevin, last question.
The Bulls have improved a little bit, though.
They have. But one last question. The $15 million that the Texas is giving their coach to be gone with him, who's paying that? The state of Texas or the boosters?
I think the boosters are probably paying it.
Can you deduct that from your taxes?
Oh yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure your booster club donation is tax deductible. So
really?
I guess in part you and I are.
By the way, one last thing: Urban is back to coaching. He's going to take over for the Jaguars and go pro. Urban Meyer.
You know, somebody I know a long time ago, somebody I know who knew Urban pretty well, even back when he was a young assistant at Notre Dame, it just says he is the most competitive person. He will refuse to lose. He's the most competitive person that this guy ever met. So I will not be surprised if Urban does well there.
But how do you... Just
for a couple years, and then he'll cite that he needs to spend time with family.
he'll burn himself out, and he'll burn out everybody around him. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Perfectionists, can do wonderful things, but perfectionists are harder. They're hard on everybody around them, and then they're hard on themselves. They're harder on themselves than they are on anyone else.
Yeah. How many times can you leave a job because of health issues?
And he's done it three times.
As many times as necessary.
Well, then you go to what a. All right, Kevin. We'll talk at you. We have no show on Monday. We'll talk at you on Wednesday. S&P futures down 14. Nasdaq's back only down 1. We'll be right back, Mr. Carl Denninger.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Member of the Board. S&P Futures down 14. NASDAQ Futures only down 2 now. They were down more earlier. Individual stocks and earnings stocks. We got J.P. Morgan is up. Well, actually, they were up a buck. Now they're down 78 cents. Because they had a good quarter earnings-wise because they made it trading. And they trade their primary dealer. They trade with the Fed. I'm guessing there's a connection there. PNC, on the other hand, had their earnings. They're down 329. Stocks trade 157.06. Carl, how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm having an interesting morning after a little bit of reservation of comment originally has turned out to be very wise.
When did you ever reserve a comment?
Well, I reserve. All right, let me modify that statement so it's a little more accurate. I reserve judgment.
Okay.
And that was on the infamous January riot in the Capitol about a week ago. And, of course, the narrative was that this was all a bunch of crazy right-wing whack jobs that are, you know, somewhere akin to Nazi Germany and Hitler. The DOJ just charged a hard leftist Black Lives Matter style organizer and operator of a group called Insurgents USA. I think that name kind of self-describes it. Who claimed he was just there to document, but unfortunately some of his co-conspirators, one of whom apparently works for CNN and NPR, were caught on videotape not only egging people on and cheering it on, but saying, time to burn this blankety-blank.
I think there's people on the far left and far right that are not happy with the government. I'm not so sure there's much difference between the two of them, really.
Well, that's, and that's the thing, is that, but the narrative, okay, is that this all came from one side, right? The problem is that that didn't make any sense, and then one of the reasons that I originally was rather reserved in my commentary about this is that I've been in that building, along with the Capitol office building. So before 9/11, when you could literally walk through the doors, there, if you wanted to have some beef with Washington before I was disabused as a slightly older man of the idea that you actually were ever listened to if you went to Washington and attempted to have a conversation with a lawmaker about something that was important to you.
If you brought a check, you were.
I don't have a K Street office where I can write, $500,000 checks, right? So, yeah. You know, at best you get some legislative aide who gives you 10 minutes to, you know, say whatever you want to say. And then, of course, he probably doesn't even report it back to his boss. But I did this several times, and one of the things that struck me about those buildings is that all those entrances are portico-style entrances, and without breaching tools from the outside, you are not getting through the doors. So somebody opened the doors from the inside.
Yeah, one wouldn't surprise me, or one was open or something, or you broke a window.
No, they're not. And post 9/11, those doors are not open and are secured all the time. Now, they have crash bars on them from the inside because, you know, fire regulations and such. But there is absolutely no way without breaching tools that a handful of people are getting through those from the other direction. Not happening. You're talking about a portico-style entrance with stone on both sides and solid reinforced frames. This is stuff that was built, you know, 100-plus years ago when they actually cared about such things.
Yeah.
unlike the Chinese garbage we build today. And so when I saw those videos and saw no evidence of crowbars or battering rams or explosives or, you know, acetylene torches to cut hinges and things like this, there is no way. Those were open from the inside. Somebody let them in. And now we are getting the emerging evidence, and in fact, a affidavit from the Department of Justice in one case that says that yeah, there was left wing nut job that was running around egging people on, telling them that hey, we got this, this blankety blank, let's burn this place, and you know, and all on video, absolutely no way to refute that it happened. And oh, by the way, right after it happened, there were a set of speeches given by members of Congress that were obviously pre-written and ready to go. I've done a lot of public speaking in my years.
Yeah,
none of them were duplicative. There was no duplicated material within them among these supposedly non-corroborating people. There was less than an hour or two worth of time. They were perfectly delivered and polished. Speech after speech after speech after speech. Who within the Congress knew that this was going to happen, fomented it, and had those pre-written in advance and practiced them? Because I have done enough public speaking that I can tell you with absolute certainty there's no way that was extemporaneous.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always done extemporaneous. I never read a speech guy.
Well, I've done plenty of extemporaneous speech, too, but you know what? You're not doing that with a group of, 435 people. Of course, you don't know the COVID thing, not so much, right? There's only, 50 of them on the floor at a time or whatever. But every one of them, one after another, gets up there in front of the lectern, delivers their screed, and there's no duplication between them of any of the points they make. Every one of these things is scripted. That was written beforehand. You can't possibly tell me that was done in the hour while they were all huddled in this room hiding from somebody who they thought was going to kill them.
Well, Carl, I've had all kinds of trouble this week, especially with my producer. And even though I will never mention it to his face, I actually do take his criticisms to heart because, that's why I got him here. But it is very difficult to try and connect things without acting like you're justifying something, because I'm not ever justifying violence. But when you started this conversation this morning, you said it's incredibly difficult now to sit down with somebody in Washington to give them your story without a $500,000 check. I would say that that's step one, and how else do I get these people to listen? And you would hope at the very end of the string of things you can do, there would be violence. But it's on the string. And the people who don't seem to care about how much money they steal from people or how much they put them out of bed, I'm not talking about the COVID, the uncaring part where we'll just give all the stuff that used to be yours to somebody else. Someplace along the line, when you damage somebody and their family and all those kinds of things, essentially the Trump phenomenon. I say every day, I never wanted the man to be president. I wanted somebody from the outside, just not him. But the idea that he connected with a lot of people that nobody even paid attention to, you can't discount that. Those people are there, and they think that way for a reason, and the reason is legit. Now, have they gone over the top by making, you know, Trump with all his weaknesses their God? Yes. I mean, way. I mean, my God, people close to me have done that. I mean, the thought's a good one, but you got to let him go.
Right.
I mean,
and the problem is that what you've seen both from him and from the other folks on the other side, from both the left and the right, is more of the screwing that got us in this place to start with.
But my
look, at some point, if people lose everything, then they lose their mind, too.
Right, exactly right.
And then the really bad things happen. And that is not what you want to see. But we have a government on both sides of the aisle that has promoted the sort of destructive policies that have ruined millions and millions of people.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just through the COVID stuff. And by the way, all of the things that we did with COVID, all of them, the shutdowns, the masking, the travel restrictions, which in many states are still there, all this nonsense. 14 years ago, there was a major policy paper that was published, and it pointed out that every single one of these steps was not only economically and personally destructive to people, but it was ineffective, proved ineffective, in stopping the spread of a virus.
Well, I don't disagree. I don't know what I'd like to read it, but when you look at what happens, and you say the thing that I wonder, and this I'd like your opinion on this, and I really like Maddie's too, because you guys are opposite ends of a lot of stuff. What if, Trump was from the outside, even though he ran as a Republican? You know, it's BS. Basically, he would have run as a Democrat if he'd have thought he could have done that. But so he gets in there. And let's face it, he's not a good guy. He has a history of screwing people, and we'll do it again tomorrow if he gets a chance. And by the way, I don't think he was all that bright. I mean, he had a huge skill set. Don't get me wrong; he's not a dummy. But in terms of assessing Washington, he couldn't really articulate all the people as well as he should have. He wasn't a Woodrow Wilson. He wasn't a Roosevelt. So. He basically tripped all over himself in his attempt, at least his vocalized attempt, to change what has happened in the last 25 years to the middle class and people. I mean, that was his vocalized stuff. How he really felt, nobody knows. My question to you is, what if he wasn't basically a bleep up? What if he was Solomon? Would he have been able to somehow get enough people on his side, get some people who care, who maybe were in the to thought like him to run for Congress to where you would at least get somewhat of a foothold in a House and the Senate? Could you actually turn this bus around and get it away from big money just pouring into these people and running the place? I don't know. I mean, he was so bad at it that I don't know that it would be impossible, Carl, but I think it would have been, even if he was really good, I don't know that how much he could have accomplished, do you?
Well, yes and no. So here's, you know, this is back when he was running, and he had his, you know, his promises on his campaign website, like every politician does, right? He had three items dealing with the medical monopolies that were very specific, very hard to argue with, and if he had actually enforced that along with 15 United States Code, which as the head of the Justice Department, he could do, because the executive is in charge of law enforcement. If he had done that and jailed a handful of people, just grab the CEO of a couple of your hospitals and throw him in the dock on a 10-year felony charge under 15 United States Code Chapter 1. Trivially easy to do. The law's been around for 100 years, and there's two Supreme Court cases that were out in the late 1970s and early 1980s that say they apply. So there was plenty of precedent to do this. I suspect that a huge part of this edifice would have collapsed, and not just in healthcare, but in other places, because the reality is that all these guys love stealing all this money, and they love the special privilege, but absolutely none of them are willing to spend a single night in jail over it.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. You got to get deloused, right?
Right, and so the thing is this. I mean, you know, as soon as you start taking people in, you know, in $5,000 Hickey Freeman suits out in chains, and thrown him in the clink for a couple of days, you watch behavior and what happens to that, because, you know, you round up a boardroom and you guys go, we're charging all of you under federal law. And I think the entire context of the conversation would have changed in a lot of industries.
Let me ask you this, Carol, and I don't know if I want to ask this question. We just talked about regular folks, and if the point where you beat them up so much, if they're capable of it, will they resort to violence at some point? I mean, obviously the Depression, nobody had a pot to piss in, so you couldn't revolt if you wanted to, right? You didn't have a car, you didn't have a gun, you didn't have anything. If you did that, if you just took on a couple of these industries and just went right at them from that spot, or even if you had somebody, your guys, the Justice Department people, how bad do you think the pushback would be? Do you think, would you be the guy in Dealey Plaza next week?
Well, you know, I don't know, and that's in that, I guess, is one of the questions is, At what point, and this is the real danger that we have with the political environment we have today, right? There is a very sincere belief running around right now in an awful lot of people on both sides that you literally can't vote to change policy anymore.
No, you can't.
All right, well, guess what? That had better never become a significant percentage of the population who really believe it. Because if you get there, then the only remaining options are things other than the normal political process. And pretty much the last peaceful one that remains is a general strike, which is legal. There's not a thing the government could do about it. But unfortunately, the crazies on both sides of the aisle aren't going to sit there and organize that. I mean, if you shut down, you know, there's what, 75 million people that voted for Trump, right?
Yeah.
If a third of them were to say, we're not working until this gets resolved, and oh, by the way, one of the is resolved is there is no penalty to us professionally for going out on strike for however long it takes, and we're not wavering in that, you would have a depression, you would have a collapse worse than what happened in March and April. The stock market would crash instantly, and the government would have to do what they demanded.
Well, but people would feel that their 401k would go.
That's the problem with organizing something like that, is that that's exactly how they keep people from doing it.
But how does...
Your 401k would go down.
but we've had a string of people. I don't think they were all bad people, and I'm not going to... Even though I have my issues with Trump not paying people like you and me, those kinds of things, which I have a real problem with, is being a traitor, where he always made good your word. And I have a real problem with Hillary for the same reason. But having said that, there's been a string of people that have gone into the White House. There's a string of people that have gone to Congress that are, I think, are really good people. I mean, a lot of the guys I met from when I was on the SIBO board, we'd go to these meetings. So you actually can come across a representative, male or female, from other places in the country that actually are there to trying to do their job. I mean, they're not all from Chicago. I mean, thank God. But I mean, there are people that actually give a crap about what they're doing. I'm sure there's state senators from downstate Illinois that actually give a crap about what they're doing. You know, but when you get there and you don't seem to, I don't believe for a second that anybody that I vote for in my district, that my vote means anything, Carl. I mean, half the people are unopposed. I mean, I'm saying we've had a string of people that have gone in there and said, we're going to change the, the prescription drugs. We're going to change the patents on someone. We're going to do all, and then they get in there and I know you end up, you know, you wake up in the morning as a president and I don't know what percentage of the time you can do the stuff that you intended to do that day. Because you go to your meeting in the morning at 7 o'clock, if you went. I don't think Trump and Obama ever went. But you sit there and go, oh, this is going on, that's going on. I guess I better spend some time on this today. I think you can blow through 4 years real fast and never really get to what you want to do. But the other part of it is, I think people tell you that these people you really want to take down are too damn tough, and you're better off going somewhere else and making a stab some other place. I mean, I think the biggest issue with Obamacare is not the intent. It was the idea. By the time you ran it through the powers to be, you ended up with a worse deal than you had before. It wasn't like that, that Obama didn't, or even Hillary, when she tried to change the healthcare system. I don't think that on day one, their intent was to screw it up. I think by the time you get through it, I mean, the question is how, like you just said, is anybody really willing to take all these people out and say, okay, or the day that somebody buys, you know, XYZ drug company that has a generic and raises the price a week later, I don't think people are, there's a code here somehow. It's almost like Elliot Spitzer, you're a traitor to your class. There's a code that says you can't go into the Pfizer or Merck or whatever and say, you bought this place, by the way, it's a combination, obviously it was a restrained trade because you took their stuff off the market, and you see it all the time, and you never see a pushback, ever.
Right.
And now why is that? Do they say, if you do, you better never leave the White House because there's a bullet with your name on it? I don't know. Is it just that it's too tough and you back up?
No, I think what they say is you know, you will not get a nickel in funding from any of the foreign. Just look at what's going on right now in the so-called social media space and in other parts of corporate America. If you were part of the Trump administration, I don't care what you did, if you were a secretary in some office, if these people have their way, not only will you never be able to be on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else again, you're never going to have another job.
Right.
You think these people have not done the exact same thing when it comes to pressuring you on what you do as a legislator, you know, as a legislator or a president?
Well, how is it, Matty and I were actually, I'll say, discussing this on the way in, Carl. I said the stuff that Trump pulled when he came in, and he basically pull the scabs off every wound in this country. I mean, that can be good, I guess, or it can be bad. Right now it looks to me like it's going to be bad. He started this crap about, I'm not going to give money to the blue states. They didn't vote for me. Screw them. Right? And a lot of his people felt, hey, what's the problem with that? Why should you support people who don't support you? I mean, I was against that from like day one. So, okay, when you do stuff like that, as Obama said, elections have consequences. So now, the Democrats, instead of being holier than thou and say, okay, we're not going to do any of this stuff. And Biden has paid lip service to the fact that he's the president of everybody right now, but these people around him aren't. And now all of a sudden it's anybody who supported these other guys, we're going to come get you. So now we're going to take what the Republicans did, which was appalling to me, and we're gonna double it. Now what happens when this guy gets thrown out in 4 years? The next people are gonna come in and they're gonna like shoot the guys. I mean, how far are we gonna let this accelerate? I guess is my question.
Well, that's the problem. And as I have pointed out, and I put an article up on it yesterday. Anyone that thinks that Biden and Harris and their administration are going to get anything of substance done in the crazy land category over the next couple of years has rocks in their head for a number of reasons. The most important one is that the states that were contested and which they had to win in order to end up in office all have Republican legislatures. And this was a census year, which means the redistricting happens now. So, you go ahead and try it, and you will lose 150 seats in the House in 2 years. And that'll be the end of your game. And you'll be lucky if they both don't get impeached 5 minutes after the next Congress is sworn in. So if they want to go ahead and do this, if we're going to do scorched earth every time you lose, okay, which, you know, and of course, this guy used 1 gallon of gasoline, so I got to use 5.
Right.
And this is the escalation process goes on. Pretty soon we're talking about nuclear weapons.
Well, that's right, man.
Right, but that's the thing, is that I have to believe that at the core, somebody is going to sit there and look at the calculus on this, because when Reid got rid of the filibuster for nominees in the Senate, as soon as the Democrats lost the Senate, the result of that was 2 hard conservative Supreme Court justices under Trump's campaign.
Right.
Okay, in his 4 years. Well, guess what? If you get rid of the filibuster for legislation so you can do the crazy land stuff that the Democrats and their far left people want, then God forbid you lose the Senate and the House in 2 years, which, by the way, is almost mathematically certain to happen because that's just the way it ends up working out. Plus, you had the redistricting on top of it, which makes it even more likely. And these guys are going to lose every single bit of their agenda.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But I mean, what I don't, I guess I don't understand. Once you start down that road, how somebody, if it's the Carl or Chief or Maddie, lands somewhere and brings this back. It's like the avalanche is running down. It's too late to get the snow pile you kicked back. I mean, it would have to take a very special person to do that. And I don't see how that person gets there today.
That I think is the challenge is, you know, you have, I don't know, I guess part of the problem I have is I don't know how much of what is going on today. My assumption right now, absent evidence, is that this whole impeachment thing, which of course, you know, has now been thrown out there again, along with most of the craziness that is being talked about, is mostly political theater. The exception is this $2 trillion that Biden says he's going to spend immediately, which he will almost certainly get passed within a week of being inaugurated, simply because nobody ever, you know, complains in Congress about handing out, you know, checks to people. I mean, you know, cutting checks to individuals is politically popular, even though it's stupid, in that it immediately ends up in inflation. And as I pointed out yesterday, yeah, okay, you got your, you know, your other $1,400. Unfortunately, the price of gas and groceries just doubled.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, and so, you know, good luck with that, guys. But my guess is that goes, and then the rest of the nuttiness that they want to do probably sits in committee or ends up going nowhere.
I don't disagree. S&P futures down 15, NASDAQ futures up a buck. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 708- 403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. It's Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Carl Denninger with us. SP Futures now down 15.50. We just had the retail sales for December. We're supposed to be flat. They're not. They're minus 0.7%. So that's a bad number. Dow futures down 121. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 123. That's 0.9%. FTSE down 50.7. CAC around down 57. That's a full 1%, 1.02. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 179.6. They were up huge yesterday, so just a little bit of a give back there. Shanghai up 47 cents. Let's call that one flat. Hang Seng up 77.3%. Just when I said yesterday they've gone different ways every day, now they're going the same way, even though in Shanghai just a little bit. Bonds, actually down three basis points to 1.09. The Bund minus 0.54, and Japan still stuck at positive 0.03. Oil down 51 cents, 53.06. Brent down 73 cents, 55.69. Natural gas up almost 9 cents now, which is 3%, to 2.75. RBOB unchanged at 155. Gold is down 370. Was down more earlier. Silver, a big mover, down 44 cents. It's been up quite a bit in relation to gold, but not today. Even copper's down 4 cents. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. That earlier crash on the Dan Ryan Express lanes at 43rd Street is all clear, but there is some resulting congestion as you're heading inbound into downtown. But no accidents to report. Same for I-57 and the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower looking good. Edens is all quiet. Kennedy, no accidents, but you'll start to hit the brakes as you're heading into the circle around Division. Traffic starting to build on the inbound Kennedy. No accidents on any of the area expressways, so enjoy a nice quiet commute. Only crash in the area is out in Carroll Stream, western suburbs. Gary Avenue at Lies Road, there is a crash. Weather today, another dreary, cold, sort of miserable January day, but we're used to that. We'll reach a high of 37, could have some precipitation throughout the day on and off, similar to yesterday. Not expecting snow, looks like it's going to be more on the rain side as we'll hover just above freezing. Right now it's overcast and 35 going up to a cloudy 37. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 77 today. Right now it's clear and 47. In sports, quiet night last night. Bulls were off. They're back in action tonight in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. That's a 7 p.m. Central Time tip. Blackhawks were off as well. They'll look to get revenge against the Tampa Bay Lightning as they play them again tonight, 6 p.m. in Tampa. Lastly, the Coyotes did play last night, and they lost to the Sharks 4-3. Chief.
This whole idea of no Canadian teams in the U.S. for like the whole season is just really weird.
Yeah, Canada's handling COVID a lot differently than the United States.
I guess. they'll tell you that anyway.
Well, I'm not saying better or worse. I just said differently.
Well, no, we both shut the borders. Right?
Right.
I don't know who did it first. But you can't go up to Toronto for sushi anymore or watch a ball game.
Yeah, I don't
know.
What is the rule on that now? Can you
can't go. No, you still can't
you
go.
You still can't go no matter what?
Oh, no, you can't go.
Okay.
I guess if you have a job there, there probably are a few exceptions. Carl, are there? I don't know.
So it's the bar is on all but so-called non-essential traffic. So if you're driving a truck across the border full of whatever, then yeah, it's fine. But in terms of going for any sort of ordinary business or leisure purpose, no.
Yeah, Carl, I was on break. I was thinking how far I should sort of go with this, but when I listen, because I'm appalled that I listened to Penny Pritzker yesterday talk about, well, you know, we lose 20% of our businesses, you know, and it's just crap that happens, basically. And I'm going, Carl, I have such a dim view of this, and I wonder, it's nobody got violent because it's kind of the nature of the market makers, people who traded. I mean, everybody looks at market makers and say they're an odd group. Well, they are an odd group, and I'm one of them, okay? They're odd in some ways are good, some ways bad. I mean, right, there's anybody who's, every time you've ever seen a person, I think you and Maddie probably both maybe agree with me on this, is every time you see a person that has like an amazing talent, they have something else that detracts from it, right? There's always, whatever your greatest strength is also your biggest flaw, right? If you're a member of, if you ever studied Greek tragedy, right? But market makers, I've seen an entire industry get basically pulled off the table and the people in it and what happened. I've watched it now for 25 years. And it is so friggin' ugly, to the individuals. Unless you've seen it, you have no way. I'm not gonna be a Diane Swank, and I love Diane, but there's one statement I couldn't believe where she said, I've been through a recession before, my girlfriend's dad lost a job. I'm like, that's not close enough to be through it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not gonna say anything.
And she just announced she has breast cancer, so we're hoping that she's getting better, yeah.
Oh yeah, cause Diane's a great lady.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, and, well, most of the people I know that have had breast cancer have been survivors, so hopefully she joins that crowd. Anyway, but I mean, I see the things that happen to you when things start going bad, Carl. I mean, in our industry, there were literally thousands of people that made a living making markets, competitive market makers. And now it's what, four people? That basically pay off the firms to see your order flow and move it someplace where you don't get as good a fill as you should have. That's what the industry is downgraded to. But the individual people that used to make, you know, whatever, even the clerks did okay. But say you made 150 grand or something, which is a lot of money, okay? Those guys don't deserve that, but now does the person now deserve $1 million a day? I mean, come on. But I watched divorces, people, let's say got married, I won't just say guys, when they were doing well, and the people they married weren't exactly blue collar. Carl, how can I put this politically correctly to when they weren't making 150 grand anymore or more, the marriage kind of went, I'm talking about money 20 years ago, not now. Where the things kind of went sour, and then there was maybe a divorce, and the income the year before was 150, so the guy or the lady promised to put kids through school. It's 5 years later, he's making 50. He doesn't have the money to put kids through school. And try and go to a divorce, especially I'm out on a limb here, might as well go the whole way. Try and get yourself a female judge where the guy says, I used to make 150 and now I'm making 50. And she doesn't say, you're just not trying hard enough, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, and in Illinois, that is, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I've seen the amount of suicides. Are, you know, they're not like there's 100 of them or anything, but there's a bunch. And
right.
Some of them aren't even, and the depression, I mean, the early deaths from people guys that I've known on the Florida were way younger than me. They're all gone. I mean, it was drugs, it was alcohol, the things that happen to people fortunately, the good news about market makers is whatever happens to them, they always think it's their fault. So there was no armed insurrection where with their last gasp, they all went out and got a front-loading, you know, musket from the Revolutionary War and marched on the SEC and took everybody out. Because clearly this was all orchestrated by a few people in the SEC that essentially gave an industry to their pals. Now, whether they all went to work there for a lot of money or got paid, I don't know, or they did it thinking it was better. I don't know the motivation. But, I mean, clearly this was a government operation, right? to put a whole bunch of people out of business and give it to five people. I mean, that was the intent from the day I got here, you know, in 1981. And they pulled it off. And yet somehow or another, you know, there was no repercussions really. But you can't do that forever. You can't have people getting fired at this thing as the guy moves something overseas and the guy's making $1 billion and you're using slave labor. Last night I got something, somebody sent me, so I didn't have a chance to read it or listen to it. Somebody's listing, 20 or 30 companies that everybody uses every day here in this country that are using child and slave labor in China. I mean, Carl, we got to stop this. We got to stop this.
Yeah.
And how do we do it?
Well, you know, this is the basic problem that I've had since, you know, and I've been raising a stink about it for more than 20 years, is that at the end of the day, the cheapest labor is slavery, right?
Right.
All right. And then everything else costs more because you have to actually pay people. So there, as long as you allow that to be part of the milieu in American business, that's what's going to happen. And there's a very simple solution to it, which I put forward in my book back when it was published, which is wage and environmental parity tariffs. And that stops it immediately because it makes it completely uneconomic. Of course, nobody wants to talk about that. We want, steel is a strategic industry, so we're going to tariff this, and we're going to tariff that, and we're going to tariff... No. The only way you stop this generally is to say, we're the only people that we're going to do free trade with without tariffs are places where wages and environmental parity are roughly comparable to the United States. So somewhere like Germany, for example, is fine. But you want to go ahead and offshore your labor to India or Indonesia or China or whatever, guess what? You're going to pay for all of that on the back end, and we're going to use that money to take care of all the things that we would otherwise have gotten tax revenue to do if you hadn't offshored the labor.
Carl, I don't know. I mean, I've never been there, never want to go there, but I'm going to say that out of all the places you mentioned, the one that might actually work is India. I mean, you might actually get, over a period of time, higher wages over there and be more customers and actually end up, at the end of the day, better on the deal, which obviously it has not worked in China and Mexico. I have a question for you, purely economic. I was thinking about this the other day. This is because I remember one of my favorite professors, even though he didn't give me a good grade, was Milton Friedman, and he thought that if he ever had a month with nothing to do, he thought he could economically prove with calculus and so forth, that, of course, I don't know anymore, that you are better off with a monopoly than you are a cartel in terms of, why he thought that, but I'm going to run this one by you, and this is not anything to do with anybody owning anybody or anything like that, but I'm going to say that I could probably, if I had a month and I could learn calculus again, I'm going to say that there are times in history, maybe in the 1800s, where I'm going to say slavery was more costly than some other areas where you didn't even care about your people at all. I'm going to say that it cost more to keep a slave and keep the person alive than it did for the people on the I&M Canal or the people who were the Asian people who were blowing away tunnels and the railroad, where you could care less if 50 people died during the day.
Right.
I bet that was even, I won't say worse because you weren't owned, but I don't know which. You were dead, and then there was somebody to take your place the next day. I bet it was actually cheaper there than it was to own a slave.
Yeah, and well, you know, that's one of the things. You know, human capital is just like any other kind of capital, right? How expensive it is depends on how much there is of it. It's one of the things that's a forbidden topic to discuss is that in 1860, when, of course, everything went down the toilet as far as the United States goes and we had secession and all that, the way it's sold is that it was purely a matter of freeing slaves in the South. They want to do this. The truth is a little more complicated in that there was a lot of agitation for the new territories to be brought in as slave-owned capable states, and the reason is that the cost of capital was so high compared to the return that slavery was actually literally dying due to economic reasons. And so within another 10 or 20 years, with mechanization and tractors and things like this, it would have been dead anyway, and that was why there was such an agitation to try to do that in the Western territories in the Northwest, because they knew full well what was going to happen. Okay, the collapse was underway. And it's just, you know, but boy, you can't bring that up, or you're a racist if you say, hey, wait a minute, there was an economic process that was involved in this too.
Well, if you don't just look at the, and obviously, I mean, everybody knows my thoughts are that it's a horrendous sort of thing, but anybody who thinks that through history that the reason why everybody was so good at enslaving black people is because they'd enslave white people for how long? They had a lot of practice at it.
Right.
Or any other person. I'm sure they enslaved people from India. I mean people did all kinds of dastardly things to other human beings and still do.
Yeah, it's not like abusing people in the name of power for
you know, for political or whatever reasons, is a new thing.
No, God, no. I mean, you don't see animals treat other animals. Well, you eat people outside your species or other animals, but I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just man's inhumanity to man, and that's why you have to be real careful. I honestly believe, Carl, that this particular country, if you looked at all the history of the entire world, we're such an outlier in how we treat people. And obviously, we got a lot of it from the Brits, and some from the French, probably. And a lot of it from religion. Even though Maddie would never, there was a pretty religious country, and there's ways you're supposed to deal with people and treat people. A lot of those things came together, but the idea now that we are going to go down this rat hole that every time there's an election, you vilify the people who voted the other way. I ran for the board of the CBOE. Now, of course, who cares about the board of the CBOE versus the presidency? And we won by a landslide. And I remember there were 57 votes against me. Carl, I didn't care who those people were. I never said, oh, by the way, who are those bleeps? And I'll make sure they never get a committee assignment. They never, they don't get a DPN. They don't get, the thought never crossed my mind. They just had a different point of view that day. What's the difference? It's my job that when I run again, they vote for me this time. I mean, that's my nice guy South Side mentality. That the thought that I should not give money to a state that didn't vote for me, I can't even imagine where a guy like Trump gets that. And now these other guys are thinking, if he did it, we want to do it too. Do we constantly have to go to the lowest common denominator? I mean, Matty Weber, we're playing golf. I saw him kick that ball out from behind the tree. Does that mean I kick it 4 yards further than he did into the fairway? I mean, where are we going with this? We're not fourth graders, I would say.
Well, that's what our politics has degenerated into, and a large part of it, I would argue, has been that since the 2000 crash, including the 2000 crash, essentially, our government has become communist, and I define communism differently than a lot of other people do. My definition of communism, and I think the correct one historically, is that communism is simply a political system where there are two groups. There are people who are in the party, and there are people who are not in the party.
Right.
The people who are in the party do not have to obey any law. They do whatever they want. They can rape, they can rob, they can murder, they can steal, they can engage in monopoly behavior, they can be slavers, and they can sell products made with slave labor, and everything is fine. If you are not in the party, and you so much as jaywalk, you go to jail. And so the danger for the people who think they're in the party, which a whole bunch of folks over in the USSR found out about when Stalin was in power, is that if you get expelled from the party, you can end up in the gulag.
Well, not only that, I like the part where you had, 150 people, that if we decided to take out Matt Weber, we'd have to take him out of history. Every picture, we'd go to his apartment, every picture his wife had of him would be gone.
Right.
It'd be the whole thing. So, do you honestly, I just thought, I wonder if Manny's this kind of guy that if he kicked the ball out from under the tree, and I did, for him to accuse me, hey, Chief, I didn't kick it in the fairway, you kicked it too far. I could see him doing something like that.
You know, I was playing with my brother right toward the end of the season in the fall, so there's a bunch of leaves, and I was kicking the leaves around looking for my ball, and I actually did kick my ball, and my brother goes, what the hell?
What'd you say?
I was like, I honestly really was trying to find my ball kicking the leaves. He's like, you better move it back. That tree's in your way. It was pretty funny.
All I know is the leaves start to come down, it's more and more important to stay in the fairway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
There you go.
just saying. The fairway, there it is. It's right there for you. Why can't we just hit it there? That's where I'm supposed to hit it. This is not that difficult. But, you know, you watch some of these pros. What about changing the subject? You'll see guys on a tournament. That's what makes those guys so unbelievable. They'll be like 5 or 10 under par, and the guy will say they've hit 40% of their fairways. You wonder, how in God's name do these guys get all the other 60% of the hole in par?
It's amazing.
It is really something.
Well, that's really the question, because I'll tell you what, if I'm in the weeds, well.
That's why
especially on those courses where the rough is so impossible to hit out of.
Did you guys ever play out in Arizona?
I have.
Well, I'm thinking, this is crazy. And then I'm thinking, this is spectacular. You know, if you whack some drive, and I used to hit the ball pretty far, you hit one out there 260 or something, and it rolls into the desert. Everything's lateral. You pull it back on the fairway. There's no rough. and you're hitting three, so what? It's so much easier than hitting it down on the trees at one of these courses here and come out of there with like five shots to get out of there.
100% agree.
You know, anyway, so Carl, how do we start diffusing the issue here? I don't see it since the week Biden's been in, or to say the month since he's been elected, or 2 months. I think things are getting worse.
I think the only way you're going to get it is that the people of the country on both sides of the aisle need to recognize that what we have here is not a, you know, not a partisan fight. What we have here is a fight with communism. We have to stop the communism, and that means that we have to enforce, as a body politic, that the rule of law applies to everybody. You cannot sit there and turn in a rental car with a crack pipe in it and your ID sitting next to it, and then have everybody say, your dad's running for president, so therefore that's perfectly okay. And yet the guy who happens to have a little baggie or whatever and gets stopped on the side of the road, they throw his butt in jail.
Well, how much money have we spent for education, and we've got idiots, whatever side they were, whatever, how this all shakes out. I'm gonna bust into this place, and I'm gonna take a selfie of me in here, and I'm gonna publish it. Or, as my buddy, my attorney buddy Bill, I'll say, he's representing three guys that somehow there was a boxcar on the south side somewhere that had guns in it. They found out about it, busted into this place. All three guys had their cell phones and were making calls from the spot. I mean, this is like, what are we doing here?
You're obviously going to jail if you do that.
I know, but how can we be this ignorant after the money we spent for school?
Well, that's part of the problem is, you know, you look at what's taught about Thanksgiving and things like this in government schools, as well as, you know, communism. Supposedly it's all about, you know, Karl Marx's theories of economics, and that's just a load of BS. And we, the people of the country, are going to have to, both sides, I don't care if you're on the left or the right, I don't care if you believe in, you know, so-called progressive politics or conservative politics or whatever, I don't care how you feel about abortion, I don't care about any of those things. We have got to, as a country, stand up and say, look, what happened to Weimer, who got thrown out of the Communist Party, and then he got jailed because he was sexting with underage people, alright, that needs to happen to everybody. You know, if you do it, that's what happens to you. I don't care if you're Nancy Pelosi, that's what happens to you. If you were part, if we find, we need to figure out who had foreknowledge of this little incursion on the 6th of January. And you know what? If it includes members of Congress, they go to jail. And that's the end of it. And you know what? Speech and debate does not cover this because they were not on the floor when they engaged in that conduct. And so, bang, off you go. And we as a body politic in this country need to start insisting that this apply to every single person, including Joe Biden, including Hunter, including, you know, Kamala Harris, if she was involved in any of these shenanigans. And oh, by the way, including Trump, because he's out of office now in less than 10 days. And when he leaves, the state prosecutors in New York are going to come after him like a ton of bricks, and he cannot be pardoned from that because it's a state offense.
Okay.
So I'm willing to bet that within 30 days the man's standing on an indictment.
Well, what are the reasons? The stuff would
things that he did that are not beyond statute of limitations within the Trump organization, and for which if he's guilty, he should be prosecuted.
All right, and I'm certainly not one of to say, well, what, you know, like, what about the other side? And I'm surely not a Trump backer, but. How do these people? The idea that the Clinton Foundation got all his money when she's running, has she gotten a dime since she's not running? And everybody not
well, no, and yeah, but you know what? This is the entire problem, though. Okay, I mean, look at what happened in 2008. How many tapes did we find in emails of major Wall Street banks? Saying, documenting that they knew that the stuff that they were selling on to people's good securities was, in their own words, vomit.
Yeah.
All right? And how many of them went to jail for that? That's fraud. It's a crime, and not one of them was prosecuted and thrown in prison. That has to change.
Well, Carl, the interesting part is, As you know, I'm not a major fan of regulations, but I am a fan of some rules, some of the stuff that came out of the Roosevelt administration. I mean, the idea that the companies have audited statements and things like that. None of that stuff was around before the 33 and the 34 Act. And banks in those days, they knew people's finances, and they would call and do the pump and dump on individual people. The banks would. They'd say, you buy this company. Will they make any money? I don't know. We can't tell you. But by the way, we know. We'd like to sell it to you. I mean, so a lot of those rules came in for companies. Well, none of it was right on this stuff that was on the Fed's bank, or the stuff that these banks were selling people, because they were selling it to other banks and stuff, right? I mean, you and I couldn't have really gone in and bought that.
Well, yeah, but you know what? The thing is that think about who ultimately got hosed by all that stuff, because it was the little mom and pop guy who has some mutual fund or some bond portfolio through some advisor. They got reamed in the butt. I was very fortunate when this stuff started. My father owned a bunch of GMAC notes, demand notes.
Really?
And they were paying a really nice coupon. And I told him, I said, you better dump all of that. He says, well, they don't mature for another 10 years. I said, no, Dad, get rid of them now. That company is going bankrupt. And he's like, oh, no, they won't let anything bad happen.
Yeah, right.
Well, he dumped them, thank God, because he would have ended up with like 3 cents on a dollar or something.
Oh, yeah. All right, Kyle, we got a dash, babe. We'll talk at you next week. Be good. By the way, no Stocks and Jocks on Monday. It is Martin Luther King's birthday. The markets are closed. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.